each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our time.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Winds of Change.
Welcome back, Father.
Wow, we already went through this yesterday. So
No, because
it's good to do it again.
Oscar called me, and he pointed out on the Winds of Change Facebook, which I wasn't really looking at that, and people were putting comments that they're happy you're
wow,
back.
Wow, that's good to know.
Even
that's
on my Facebook, I put, you know, and people said, we're glad Father's back. We're glad to hear his voice.
Well, nice. It's, you know, it's good to hear the voice, right? You know,
it is. Yes, it is.
No, it is. Not that you want to hear it, Father.
It feels like home.
It's the strangest thing. I was talking to, I have to tell you what Armin said. Yes, it was funny. I mean, I thought it was funny because I can't stand the sound of my voice. And I'm not saying that to get a pat on the back or anything like that. Oh, no. Nick, that was terrible.
That's good.
That was horrible. That was quick.
That. Just having a little fun there.
We didn't even plan that. That's why you do good for what you do.
That's
why.
So now we have to put the punishment.
Well, I'll tell you, that is, talk about spontaneous. But anyway, so it's not like I'm looking for a pat on the back, but I just don't like the sound. I don't like to hear my voice.
Well, you're not the only one.
A lot of
one.
People don't, you know?
No, yeah, like yeah. Myself, I don't like the
sound
of my voice.
So I've never listened to a show, never. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should, so as to improve, because
there's nothing to improve.
There's nothing to improve.
No.
Perfection is here.
What more do you want?
At perfection, yes. Right here, right? Not only God is perfect, no, but I'm far from perfect.
You do a good job every time you're on.
No, pat on the back. You know, you already made. You have to make up for just laughing at me like that. You and your.
You do a good job.
We're
going to
put him in the punishment room.
We're going to put him in the punishment room.
In the punishment room.
He knows it too, and he's trying to get out.
Exactly. But anyway, before I left for Rome, Armin had prepared the Christmas show. You know, mm-hmm. We all had done some pre-recordings, which are really kind of odd and hard because I feel artificial because you're.
Oh yes,
you know,
me too.
Like this is live. So I mean, mm-hmm. I just.
And that's what people love about it. They say it's real. It's not scripted or it's not phony.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say that anybody's phony, but they like it because you sound real.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the feedback because I get to hear
good.
All the feedback.
Well, keep
keep it coming.
Keep it coming.
Yes.
So, but anyway, so because I know better. And
no.
But so anyway, so I'm not, again, no, no, I'm not. Not
I'm not making up anything.
Not
Father,
woe was me, oh, woe was me. It's
no,
just.
No.
But the point is, you know, and it's the case, I think, with some people, you know, because you, and it's all about pride. It's all about vanity, really it is, because I expect, you know, I want to hear this beautiful, deep, masculine, strong voice, and then I listen to myself, and I think, what? Who is that? You know, but anyway, so he...
You've got bad ears,
Bad ears.
So he
prepared the Christmas show, right?
Exactly.
And he did a beautiful job, and he wanted me to...
Listen to it.
He really wanted me to hear it, to listen to it. So he gave me the CD and all that, and I thought, you know, I just don't want to hear my voice. You only got a little part anyway in there, so because I did the Christmas letter, I think, and all that. So I thought, you know, he put a lot of work into it, and it's only charitable, right? And a gesture of gratitude for the work that he put into it. So I listened to it, and it was very, very beautiful. Until I heard my voice, will I ever go back on the radio after hearing that? But anyway, so he was saying, we were talking yesterday after the show, and he said, you know, we were talking a little bit about that, and he said, you know, because I was complimenting him, patting him on the back, because he did such a good job on the Christmas show, and I said, you know, except, you know, my voice. And he says, well, you know, he says, I don't like my voice. I said, what do you mean you don't? What voice? You've got many voices. He's got many, many voices. You've got to like one of those voices, right?
The elves or the Santa Claus or...
Yeah. I mean, he's a man of multiple talents, multiple voices. Anyway, so...
I would like to just say something.
What would you like to say?
Some people have said to me...
What?
We know that Father needs to be away.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that. But he said... Don't you have a lot of recorded programs?
The best of?
Because when Oscar used to be the producer.
Okay, Jerry, I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going.
I know. You know, listen, we had a beautiful Mass this morning, didn't we? It was so nice. The Mass.
Yes, yes.
It was very, very nice.
I love the Mass.
But I have to say, really, quite honestly, this morning.
Tony, I love you. Weren't even there at the
you
Mass.
You weren't Mass.
I love the Mass. I was there in spirit.
This morning I felt, you know, it was so good to be back. I mean, yes, I've been back for, 4 days, and I'm still, believe it or not, in the jet lag, because by the time the evening comes, you know. By the way, and I'd ask everybody to pray for one of our deacons, Miguel Garcia. Mm-hmm. So after the Mass yesterday, I went to visit him. He's he's very sick, you know, really in a very debilitated place. Yeah. So he's in the hospital and a little bit anxious about that, he is. And so I was there to see him last night after the Mass. But going into the Mass, I just felt this was, by the time I get into the 7 o'clock Mass, it's still, what, like 2 o'clock in the morning for me in Rome. So I'm still, my body is still making
adjusting to the adjustment.
And I suspect the older you get, the longer it takes to make the adjustment. So I'm kind of slowly trying to adjust to the fact that I'm not middle-aged. I'm senior, almost a senior citizen.
Well, what age are you considered? 55?
I don't know. Well, I'm almost 60, so I think I don't know. Now, so Jerry, I don't know how would you categorize yourself, because I already know I'm beginning to think of myself as being old.
That's what I am, old.
But beyond that, what is there? Because I see you beyond that.
Purgatory, I hope, and then heaven, I hope.
No, I'm talking about.
You're funny, Jerry.
How would you classify yourself?
Older?
Older.
I don't worry about that stuff, because they put all of these little names on everybody that never existed before.
But I want to categorize you. I want to.
Well, I know you could, Father.
But there's what, the middle age, adolescence, and the childhood, adolescence, middle age.
We have today what's unique about our day and time is that we have a perpetual adolescence.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's how I feel.
We're not moving beyond adolescence.
Even like I was thinking back Sunday, we went out to celebrate my mother getting her license after 15 years of renewing it.
Mother's only, what, in her 60s and she's getting her license, you know?
So. Fine. Yes. And so we
just
went.
Stay away from her when she's on the.
Poor mother. An excellent driver.
Don't let me forget to mention my ride to the airport. Okay, with Jerry,
and she's not about driving Miss Daisy.
But
it was so talking about adolescence. My father and my mother were sitting in the front. My father was driving. My younger brother and I were sitting in the back, and it brought me back to my childhood. I felt like a child.
Sure,
I felt protected.
So cute.
My parents. It's so sweet, isn't it?
I could picture you. You still look like a little girl, yeah.
Yeah, well, I stopped growing when I was 7 years old. But I felt like a child sitting there, and mom and dad in the front. I felt really protected.
Isn't that very protective?
It was a nice feeling, yeah. I miss those days.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I remember waking up in the morning and when I would go home and visit my parents, you know, and I'm already middle-aged. At that time, I was middle-aged, you know. But I would wake up and I'd hear them in the kitchen. You know, they'd be talking among themselves and drinking their coffee and all that. And it's the same sense. I felt I felt like a child again, and I felt so protected. There was a sense of feeling protected. But speaking of driving, I remember Jerry. I was going to somewhere to visit my mom or something in Florida.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It had to be had to leave after the Mass. This is a couple of years ago. First time and last time this will ever happen. And she offered to give me a ride. And I thought, Jerry, give me a ride. Geraldine Spatz, give me a ride.
Am I
going to
get there on time?
That's
what you thought.
All kinds of things were going through my head. You know, because she's not young. I mean, you know.
Shaky old lady.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Right. And so, I mean, when you're pushing 80 and you want to, you know, give me a ride to the airport and all that. So I didn't want heard, I didn't want you to feel bad. So I said, you know, okay. And I, you know, said a prayer and kept my rosary in my hand. And
and then you said before you left, just pray.
I did. Didn't I say
pray a rosary so I get, that I get there?
Exactly. Like, and she drives like a bat out of hell. I mean, it was just amazing.
She doesn't mess around.
No, we were there. And in fact, it was you probably got me there faster than the time that I was escorted there by the state trooper.
Ah, yes.
Which is another story. We're not going to go into that because that's probably not a legit kind of a thing, legitimate kind of a thing to do. In other words, it may be legal.
You,
I don't know.
You never were in the race car
no.
The contest.
No, could you?
Yeah, she would have qualified.
My foot is a little heavy.
A little heavy. Anyway, I wanted to say something yesterday, and I we're going to go back to how I ended the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Jesus, which would be appropriate, right? Because I'm a priest, and we are a Catholic radio. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to certainly. I keep going back to the readings on Sunday. Repent,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And the kingdom of God is at hand. The first reading from the book of the prophet Jonah, who was reluctant to go because the call to repent was a call given to the Gentiles, mm-hmm. to the pagans, to the Ninevites, and Jonah didn't want to call them to repentance. Mm-hmm. But he had to do it. It was he tried not to do it, didn't he? And I was kind of going to the whole story. But in any case, they did repent, and God relented because they knew. Because again, you can remember, everybody, the law of God is written into our hearts, and we're going to look at that from the document of the Second Vatican Council, Gaudium et Spes, which is kind of, you'll understand what I'm going to do, and hopefully we'll do it within the hour. But kind of put these things in perspective. But and then, of course, Jesus in the gospel says, repent of your sins, and because the kingdom of God is at hand. And he told Peter, or he met Simon and Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, and then also later called James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and, you know, put aside everything, come and follow me. And I asked a question. I don't know if I asked a question yesterday, but I certainly asked it on Sunday to the people. When we hear that, as we look at ourselves, what do we need to repent of, you know, as a nation, as families, as individuals, as persons? And we'll get into that in a moment, because I want to revisit as I closed the show yesterday, about going back to the killing of the 12 people in Paris. At the the Charlie Hebda, I think it's, mm-hmm. Charlie Hebda. It's a satirical magazine, and you all remember that. And then, but the way the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, I guess that would be the C, would be Corporation, British Broadcasting Network, and the CNN International. How they dealt with it, I thought it was very interesting. There was something beautiful about it, but also something very sad. And I'll talk a little bit about that. I ended the show, I think, with that, but I want to, again, put that into, where the challenge is for us. But I did want to make mention yesterday, and I forgot to, or I didn't have time. You know, we were talking about a lot of things. I guess I was talking too much about my experiences in Rome. In retreat, but it was good. It was a very good show. Actually, a lot of people called and people told me.
They said it was a good show.
So I always appreciate hearing that. You know, I need that. I need to have the ego massaged a little bit from time to time.
Well, it's nice to be encouraged.
It helps. Does. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because you know, being around here, you know, you're being put down right and left. You know, so
yeah.
But anyway, I want to recognize one of our parishioners, because we so often speak of the negative things and the bad things and the dark things that are happening, because we're affected by that. And as I was just speaking to somebody this morning, and she was sharing with me just some issues with the family and all that, and her great sadness that others in the family don't share the same faith, don't have the same faith or the same love for Christ, for the church. Not that they're bad, not that they're, you know, but it's just, it doesn't mean as much to them. Seemingly it doesn't, mm-hmm. it seem to mean as much, you know. And this is a natural sadness we feel because when you find something beautiful, you know how it is when you, let's just say, for instance, well, especially when it comes to food, you know, you've got, so, you know, let's just talk about pizza, you know. You've got to have this pizza. This is the best pizza from wherever. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Chicago pizza from wherever. Luminati's, maybe, you know. Is this good pizza, right, Nick?
Yeah, very good deep dish.
Deep dish is it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Deep dish.
How about the thin pizza?
Never had it, but the deep dish is the best way to go.
Oh, really?
Is it okay? In my opinion, but
all
it's
right.
good.
All right. I expect that you bring one in one of these days, you know. But anyway, so, you know, you get this. We got to go. I'm going to take you to Luminati's. We'll just say, okay. And because they got the best pizza. I don't know that they do, but Nick says they do, so we're gonna trust him. So we go, and you're disappointed. You say, no. I said, but come on, you gotta enjoy it. This is it's just the worst pizza I've ever had. Whatever. Anyway, the point is, you get the point. You know, you when you find something beautiful, and you want to share it with somebody, you want to say, you know, you got to come and share in this. You know, whatever. But so there is a sadness when we're not able to communicate or share, or people aren't receptive to the gift of faith that we recognize that has been given to us, right? And we know that we don't want to do a disservice to that faith. And that's why I say so often, even on the radio, and I pray this every day, really, truly, you know, God, please, you know, don't let me get in the way. Help me to get out of the way, because I know I get in the way. But, and show me the way, and show me the way. You know, remove the impediments, lift the veil. Yes, this is the thing about the Mass, how beautiful the Mass is. If it's celebrated, prayed properly, we can we have to trust, you know, the beautiful prayers of the Mass. We have to trust the mystery that unfolds on the altar of sacrifice and the invitation to partake in the supper of the Lamb, the banquet of the table banquet, you know, where we encounter Jesus. And so we get sidetracked, you know. We manipulate maybe the music, maybe the goings and the comings, and there's so much activity and so much stuff going on that it almost becomes more of an entertainment. Or we're trying to, and we just lose. We've shrouded. Mm-hmm. We've placed a veil between ourselves and these mysteries that are unfolding, or the way the priest celebrates the Mass. If the priest isn't focused, if he's not praying the Mass, if he's, you know, just get in there, let me get this done with, and be on with whatever the work of the day, then it people feel that, you know, so it's because it is a mystery, and so we want to convey that mystery to others. But anyway, I deviate a little bit as I do so often. But in there's when you find true, believing, living humbly in a humble way. So there's a humble, humility is so important to the faith. But you, a true believer, or let me just say, not just a true believer, because many people believe, but one who really takes to heart and lives with seriousness and in humility and gratitude their faith, there's nothing really more beautiful than that, as far as being an icon that emanates the beauty of God, which gives you a sense of hope and a sense of peace and a sense of protection, you know, going back to this idea of protection, that while things are, there's cause for hope and there's cause for joy, and there's we get a strength. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about one of our parishioners who I really want to mention her and her family. She and her family. This is her name is Jacqueline Barajas, and this is Catholic Schools Week, so I think it's appropriate to bring this up during this celebration of the Catholic Schools Week, because she is truly a witness, a testimony to the good that comes out of the Catholic school, but not just the Catholic school, because it's really, as I said on Sunday at the Mass, we're here to the priests and the teachers, the principal. And by the way, our principal, her father just died a couple of weeks ago. And so we want to remember her, keep her in prayer. Marjorie Hill is our principal, and she's going through her own grieving and all that. And it's, in any case, but it takes, but we're here to assist the primary teachers of their children. And who are those primary teachers? But of course, the parents. And I think, I certainly don't think, but I know that Jacqueline Barajas is a beautiful witness of what can happen when you've got the faith, the family, and good, proper education. When the three of those are woven together, the fruit that is born is really rather beautiful. So we'll come back, and I want to share with you a little bit about her life and what she's doing, and then we'll talk about the pick up where we left off yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, okay? So we will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change and AM 750 WNDZ.
We join our Chaldean Catholics in prayer to the Mother of God for peace in the Middle East. Mother of God, Virgin Mary, be for us a safeguard from all illnesses and hardships. Through the great love you have for Christ, ask and beseech him to be merciful to us, to give healing to our ailments, to console the downtrodden, to unite those who are scattered, and to forgive us.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I was speaking about this before the short break, but the beautiful fruit that's born when you've got faith and family and education recognized as priorities. In other words, you know, the faith, family, and education. But one of our parishioners, Jacqueline Barajas, her young life, she's 21? 20? Okay. She's got to be about 21 because she's...
She already graduated from college.
Right. Yeah. She was our... this is Catholic Schools Week, so she... Mm-hmm. The point is that she went to our school, graduated from St. Stanislaus Koska, and from there... Here she went to Resurrection High School in Chicago, the Resurrection Sisters. I'm a Resurrection Father. And then from there she went to Marquette in Madison, Wisconsin. I think it's in Madison. Oh, no, in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. To Marquette, which is a Jesuit Catholic, Jesuit college university. And I remember when she was born, you know. even before that, she's the second child of four children. And they're... She was born to Jaime and Lourdes Barajas, their parents. Jaime plays the guitar, mm-hmm. with your father and was very active in the, mm-hmm. In the musicians, yes. You know. But when I first came, my first memory of the 5:30 Mass on a Sunday, mm-hmm. evening 25 years ago, if you can imagine, 25 years ago here at St. Stan's was, I was preparing the altar for the Mass, and At that time, the Blessed Sacrament was on the side chapel, mm. of the church. Now it's at the altar repose in the center, where it should be. Mm-hmm. And but Jaime was he had Beatriz. Mm-hmm. His oldest daughter. Jackie hadn't been born yet, and he was holding her in her arms. She was just a child, maybe about 2 years old, maybe younger, probably younger actually, because she was a baby.
She was a baby, okay.
And but not a newborn baby. Mm-hmm. She was maybe a 1 year old. And she was, you know, you get the point.
Yeah.
But he was kneeling there before the Blessed Sacrament, And I was watching as he was pointing out the Blessed Sacrament, how he marked her with the sign of the cross, and then he was teaching her how to do the sign of the cross, and then how she made the sign of the cross. And I was very, very moved by that. And the other thing about Beatrice is she's severely hearing impaired, so that both parents, Jaime and Lourdes, learned sign language. So I watched as, you know, through the years as they learned the sign language, mm-hmm. and then every Sunday as they would sign the Mass. So mm-hmm. Beatrice mm-hmm. would come, the whole family would come, and they've got four children now, and they would do the sign language. And it was very, very beautiful, you know, and it was very animated. Mm-hmm. I was very, very impressed by that. But anyway, and she's a mature young woman now. She's going to school herself, and she's plans to go into parish ministries. I don't know mm-hmm. if you know that, but she's planning to go into parish ministries. So she works in a parish with hearing impaired, mm-hmm. the hearing impaired and the deaf, and all that, and just beautiful. And she's a photographer as well.
She you know, takes very good pictures.
She does, yeah. So I told her she's the paparazzi, you know, when yes. we had this going away, a blessing to send off her, Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. Now, Jacqueline's 3 years younger than Beatrice, and she, as I said, she graduated from St. Stanislaus Kostka in 2006, went to St. Stan's, from there she went to Resurrection, from here to Resurrection High School, and graduated then from Marquette University in 2014. So that was mm-hmm. a year ago. It was just a year ago. Mm-hmm. And in any case, she left yesterday. She offering her services to the Peace Corps, into the Peace Corps. And we had, before I went to Rome, we offered a Mass for Jackie as she was leaving and or preparing to leave, to offer her services to the Peace Corps. And the Mass, I think you were there, Christina. Yes. Yeah, it was very moving, wasn't it?
It was very moving.
So moving.
Very moving.
It was very touching. I was deeply moved by the experience, this send-off mm-hmm. with the blessing of God. It seemed very countercultural. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and as I said, it challenged me not to be so fixated on the sad things that happen too often in the lives of our families and their children, that I lose sight, or that we lose sight of the quiet and the hidden blessings that are occurring unbeknown to many in the world. And Jacqueline is making a courageous and a rather heroic choice to give herself in service to the cause of peace. She's going to be, and this is at the core of her faith, this is a young woman of deep faith, and she's going to be serving in Ecuador, so she left yesterday. But as I said, her life, her young life is already a living testimony mm-hmm. to how faith and family and education woven together and grounded in Catholic teaching and the mystical life of the Church. When I say the mystical life of the Church, I mean the prayer of the Church, how this produces offspring that really confound the wise of this world. And having watched the family, you know, over these past 24 years, 25 years, I can say with confidence, and I mean really I say this with confidence, that Beatrice and Jackie's testimony is the fruit of firm and loving parents who humbly and really unassumingly have made it their priority to build the life of the family on the rock foundation of God's life. And in this, Jaime and Lourdes, the parents, have been wise stewards. The parents have to be understand that they're stewards mm-hmm. of the very precious, but yet very fragile gift, the fragile gift of life entrusted to them in the lives of their children. Right? They also got Jaime Jr. and mm-hmm. Teresa. But the two pillars of the faith. The first pillar is what is Jesus Christ for sure, most deeply encountered in the sacred scripture, in the sacraments of the Church. And the second, of course, is the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God and the Mother of the Church, it's Our Lady who reminds us that we're beloved sons and daughters of God and members of the family, the mystical body of Christ. And she shows us and really beckons us to live our lives prayerfully and in obedience to the will of God, that Christ be at the center of life and that we serve Jesus in others. And these pillars have been the points of reference in the or to the formation of the Barajas children, because I've seen this, I've watched this, and it does make a difference when parents are very consistent, and you know, because we know them, but because even as they begin to have their children, then they begin to put aside some of the ministries that they were involved in, and they begin to really, because they recognize that their primary responsibility, mm-hmm. their primary ministry was raising the family, yes. raising the children, and that the center of the life of the family was the prayer of the church, the Mass. And you can see that. And so there was a firmness and a humility, and I said in a very unassuming way, but it's just a very beautiful thing. It.
Even when Bibi, when she turned 15, and in the Hispanic community, when the girl, young woman, turns 15, you have a Mass, you know, on Thanksgiving for the gift of her life. And I remember, I don't think I've ever cried so much at a wedding as I did in her 15th birthday. It was so moving. And like you said, you could see the difference. You've had so many quinceañeras, Father. And yeah, it's a joyous occasion. And of course, the girl is there with her dress and she becomes the center of it all. But here at Bibi's Mass, you could see that God was the center of it. And she was a living testimony, so moving and so uplifting.
Yeah. Can you maybe share, you told me this, I was going to say something, but I didn't want to say something in a public way because I didn't know if I should. Mm-hmm. This is public. This is very public right here.
Yes.
But I don't think it would be wrong to mention this about, because I think it gives you a sense of the wisdom of the parents, the mother, you know, because didn't you tell me that Lourdes was saying that when they were shopping for clothes?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. This is nothing bad.
Yeah,
they were shopping. It was for Jackie. Yeah, it was Jackie. It was for her prom. They were looking for a prom dress for high school. And so she went with her mother and she said, oh, how about this? Or how about, or even regular clothes, not only the prom, but just regular clothes. And you, all the girls out there know that you go shopping, a lot of the clothes, the fashion today for young women is kind of like a little too much revealing or too tight, you know?
Yeah.
And so Jackie's like, oh, I like this outfit. And her mom's like, no. And she's like, well, all my friends are wearing it. This is the end thing. And her mom asked her a question. She said, I will answer you with a question. Do you think our Blessed Mother would dress that way? And she paused and she said, no. She said, there you go.
Yeah, and that was it.
And that was it. And that, mm-hmm. and you see it, her two daughters, the little one, she's still little, but the two older daughters, Bibi, Beatriz, and Jackie, you could see the way they dress.
They're
conservative, and it's beautiful.
But
beautiful.
Beautiful, not conservative in a sense, you know, sometimes, I don't know, you get the images of, I remember when I was going to high school, we had in the South, you had the Pentecostals who, mm-hmm. they couldn't cut their hair and they dressed it was completely,
I mean, like the extremes.
It was an extreme. It was like, you know, it was like dressing as if you were still living in the 19th century or something like that. If, you know, you remember Jerry.
Yes.
You
know. Or like a religious sister, nun.
Right. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that, but there's a balance there. They dress modestly.
Yeah, this is modest. It's attractive. It's beautiful. It's in good taste, and it's modest. Yeah.
Yes.
So what can you say? Anyway, but that was the gospel.
Beautiful.
You know, on Sunday, Jesus, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. He casting their nets into the sea, and he said, you know, to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they abandoned their nets and they follow Jesus, and this should be the goal of the Catholic school. I was asking the question the other day, what is the goal of the Catholic school? But it should be what? To form students in discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Discipleship. The goal is enhanced when the parents who live the faith in a generous way, in a loving way, and faithfully recognize that faith, family, and education are the priority. The rearing of the children, to the raising of the children. So, and these are challenging times for faith and for family and for education, that goes without question. But given the priority and woven together, they will indeed be a leaven that transforms society. And I wanted to bring that up because I think that the Barajas family and Jackie and Beatriz, in this case too, but are witnesses to this. So anyway, I wanted to mention that yesterday, but she's already gone. She's gone. You know, and it was so beautiful, you know. The mass was so...
The mass was very... So it was very moving. I think everybody was... There was no dry eyes in there. Yeah.
And
in
see, when you think about it, years ago, this was the norm. This is every year.
Yes.
Parishes were sending young people off to the missions, off to religious life, into the seminaries and all that. And, you know,
and you could see it. It's transforming, not only for the individual, for the family. Mm-hmm. When they go out there and they come back with this joy and they have a different perspective on life.
Right.
To see how people of third world countries, how blessed we've been, and to thank God for all the blessings that we have, everything that we have. And those people that have less, yet they have joy and they still have the faith.
Well, you know, when I was in Mexico, in Oaxaca, going to school, I remember I was a student. I was studying the language, but this was in a very poor area of Oaxaca, in the outskirts of the city of Oaxaca. And this is going back many, many years. And I remember these young people were brought in, you know, from the United States. And they, the first couple of days, they had to live with families, you know.
Yes.
I lived in the convent chapel, or behind a chapel, because I ministered to the nuns while I was there. And but when the young people came, and I was young then too, you know, but these were younger people, like high school students, they were livid. They were angry because they didn't have McDonald's. Aww. They didn't have television. Mm-hmm. And that was before they even, you know, there were cell phones and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And because we're talking about the early 1980s, right?
Yes.
And they were just beside themselves, you know, because they had to live in, they were separated, living in these different homes with these poor families.
Yeah.
They were poor families, but these were, you know, they just didn't have anything that they
what they're used to over here.
Even their privacy and all that
sure.
was, and they were livid, but you know, and they wanted to go back. It's kind of like the thing of the Israelites who were brought into the desert and said, no, we want to go.
At least we had something to eat over there.
Yeah, we could fill our bellies, you know, take us back to Egypt. You know, better to be slaves and have food in our belly than to be out here in the desert. And these young people were like that. You know, they wanted to go back. They were livid. But by the time it was over, they were 6 weeks there.
Yeah.
They didn't want to go back at the end of it all because they learned something very beautiful about just community, sharing, the simple things of life. And it was amazing to watch the transformation.
Yeah. Then, like you said about the Israelites, that they wanted to go back, even though they were slaves, they wanted to go back. And here it applies to our life, our world, because the children here, the young people, they become slaves to the materialism, to just frivolous stuff.
Right. A slave we were not aware of.
Yes.
Until we're somehow snatched away from it, and we realize that sometimes the less we have, the more we have.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's kind of like the light came into the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People choose to stay in the dark. They choose not to come into the light because they're comfortable in the dark, and they don't want their deeds to be exposed. So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I want to pick up where we left off yesterday. Some beautiful reading that really goes right to the point that I wanted to make yesterday at the end of the show, and I'll pick up on that when we get back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supporter Winds of Change, and AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Pope John Paul II once said, humanity, its dignity and its balance, at every moment and on every place on earth, will depend upon who he is for her and who she is for him. I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why are we a man? Why are we a woman? Unless we know the why, we do not know the how to be man or a woman, and therefore we do not know how to really be for each other. The why behind being a man or woman is told in the theology of our gendered bodies. Our bodies speak a language. Gender reveals God. Through gender, we can actually participate in the way that God loves us. We can love as God loves. Human sexuality is an icon of the very interior life of the Holy Trinity. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. You know, yesterday, if you recall, and I'm sure everybody remembers exactly how we ended the show, right? How did we end the show? I'm going to ask you, put you guys on the spot.
I'll let Tony say something.
We were running out of time.
always running out of time.
Right.
What was the last thing, Tony? Come on.
I heard the music.
All right. But before that.
I cannot remember.
It starts with an M. Let's play Hangman here, okay?
We were talking about the Mass?
No,
Muhammad.
Oh.
Prophet.
Oh,
I'm
yeah?
sorry, I gave
okay.
it out. Sorry.
There you go.
I think Christina knows.
Anyway.
No,
So everybody, you remember, and I wanted to expound.
Give us a quick recap.
Because I don't know if you read, Jerry, The Office of the Readings this morning, but so beautiful.
Yes.
So beautiful. And I want to share that with our listeners. But because it's exactly what I wanted to say. Even on Sunday, mm-hmm. but I said it in my own way. But to hear St. Basil the Great speak about this is a very beautiful thing, because I do think, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we need to repent of? You know, again, the call this past Sunday was, repent of your sins, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. But I mentioned yesterday that when I was in Rome, I was watching, especially in view of the killing of the 12, the very tragic killing of the 12 editors or...
the cartoonists or
cartoonist,
whatever.
Commentators, mm-hmm. whatever, from the Charlie Hebdo, mm-hmm. It's a satirical magazine. The radical Islamic radicals mm-hmm. went in and... was it two of them or one of them? Two of them. I think two brothers went in and killed 12 of them. 12 of them. And of course, that provoked or caused a great protest mm-hmm. in defense mm-hmm. of free speech, and millions of people participated in that in the streets of Paris.
Sure. From all over the world.
From all over the world.
Yes.
And then, of course, very soon after that, Charlie Hebdo came out with one of their magazines. Or I've never actually seen them, if it's a magazine or a newspaper or whatever, mm-hmm. but on the cover, they had the image of Muhammad. Weeping, crying, with the text said, "All is forgiven," mm-hmm. which seems kind of innocuous in a way, doesn't it? I mean, but it caused an uproar
mm-hmm. right.
in the Islamic community yeah. because this was for them a horrific sacrilege. It was offensive, and what was amazing to me during this whole ordeal, during the aftermath of the killings and then especially after this magazine came out, was how the media, the BBC and the CNN, just went out of their way, it seems to me. It felt like it. They just went out of their way to remind everybody that these were radical Islamists. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, they would even deny the validity of their religion,
mm-hmm.
but that this is certainly a religion of peace and all that. And then they interviewed all these, so many moderate Muslims, especially with the depiction of Muhammad and their outrage, absolute outrage. But what was the
what was beautiful about it was the extent to which they showed their reverence mm-hmm. and respect mm-hmm. for their prophet Muhammad, as they spoke about the prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And this was so offensive to them, such a sacrilege. But you could feel this deep reverence, this deep respect, how they revere, hold in high esteem the prophet Muhammad. And he's always referred to as the prophet, our prophet Muhammad. But even the media people just, I said yesterday, but I was expecting that they were going to say our prophet Muhammad because they spoke, this is, we're talking about the secular media, BBC, CNN, International, but the great reverence with which they spoke about the prophet Muhammad. And I thought, you know, where do we ever get a sense of the same kind of reverence and respect for Jesus Christ? And knowing that the two are at two different extremes, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Muhammad is radically, radically different from Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus is, as we profess to believe, God in the flesh. Yes. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. He's God in the flesh. And his life, his teachings, and ultimately what he did. So I think, you know, and I mentioned this yesterday, I want to read something that St. Basil said, but I think that this is where we have to step back and ask ourselves. In many ways, you know, we become so political. Even the church can become so political. We have to be very much involved in the public square. We've got a voice that has to be heard in the public square in defense of the values and the principles and the right way of living and in defense of life, because as Christians, as Catholics, not to be in defense of life, not to be in defense of the marriage, not to be in defense of the family, of the faith, that would be a sacrilege. That would be a horrible, horrific deviation. But I think we've so secularized that we've lost our sensitivity to the person who is at the center of our faith, the cause of our faith. And I want to share with you this. You know what? I'll tell you what. We'll take a final break and let me come back, and then we'll. I think that'll give me plenty of time to share with you the reading from St. Basil the Great, because it is it's a beautiful reading, and I think it puts everything in perspective and everything that I wanted to say on Sunday, everything that I've been thinking, and so now I get a chance to share this with you. So we'll be right back, and we'll look at that. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You'll find a little bit of yesterday that will delight you today at the Family Hearth General Store, a nonprofit ministry of forming faithful families in historic Frankfort, Illinois. The 1870s style old storefront honors home, faith, and family life, featuring vintage wares and unique gifts for special family occasions. From Victorian replicas, vintage decor, quilts, candles, antique samplers, and jewelry, to unique books, hand-milled soaps, old-time candy, ice cream, and bottles of pop, you'll find a warm welcome here around the family hearth. A cozy fireplace, fresh gourmet coffees, and teas await your visit. So come, sit a spell. Find us on the main street of Frankfort at 119 Kansas Street, and be sure to visit the online store at formingfaithfulfamilies.com. Like us on Facebook or give us a call at 708-334-1988.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So talking about the deep and reverence and respect that was given to Islam and to the Prophet Muhammad, as they refer to him. But we were talking even during the break, and the Pope said that, you know, because this Charlie Hebdo doesn't in any way justify violence in any way against anybody. And there's no justification for any violence in the name of God in any way whatsoever. Sure. But the but as the Pope said, and it's so true, just freedom of speech doesn't give you the right to ridicule or to
make fun of
create sacrilege, you know, people's family or people's religion and the like. So,
but and things that we hold sacred.
Right.
No one has the right to make
I mean, there's, yet. There's yeah. certainly in the in, there needs to be debate and dialogue and challenge.
Yes.
You know? But anyway, but the point is, you know, what about you know, I say to hear the same reverence given to Jesus on the part of our own people, and I think this is where we, you know, this need to repent, because where is Christ in our life? Anyway, let me just share with you the words of Saint Basil the Great, because he says, what, you know, what words can adequately describe God's gifts? They're so numerous that they defy enumeration. They're so great that any one of them demands our total gratitude in response. Yet even though we cannot speak of it worthily, there is one gift which no thoughtful man can pass over in silence. God fashioned man in his own image and likeness. He gave him knowledge of himself. He endowed him with the ability to think, which raised him above all living creatures. He permitted him to delight in the unimaginable beauties of paradise and gave him dominion over everything upon the earth. Then, when man was deceived by the serpent and fell into sin, which led to death and to all the sufferings associated with death, God still did not forsake him. He first gave man the law to help him. This is interesting, right? First, he gave man the law to help him. He set angels over him to guard him. He sent the prophets to denounce vice and to teach virtue. He restrained man's evil impulses by warnings and roused his desire for virtue by promises. Frequently, by way of warning, God showed him the respective ends of virtue and of vice in the lives of other men. Moreover, when man continued in disobedience, even after he had done all this, God did not desert him. Now, no, we were not abandoned by the goodness of the Lord. Even the insult we offered to our benefactor by despising his gifts did not destroy his love for us. On the contrary, although we were dead, our Lord Jesus Christ restored us to life again, and in a way even more amazing than the fact itself. For his state was divine, yet he did not cling to his equality with God, but emptied himself to assume the condition of a slave. He bore our infirmities and endured our sorrows. He's quoting from the prophet Isaiah. He was wounded for our sake, so that by his wounds we might be healed. He redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for our sake, and he submitted to the most ignominious death in order to exalt us to the life of glory. Nor was he content merely to summon us back from death to life. He also bestowed on us the dignity of his own divine nature and prepared for us a place of eternal rest where there will be joy so intense as to surpass all human imagination. How then shall we repay the Lord for all his goodness to us? He is so good that he asks no recompense except our love. That is the only payment he desires. To confess my personal feelings, St. Basil says, when I reflect on all these blessings, I am overcome by a kind of dread and numbness at the very possibility
of ceasing to love God and of bringing shame upon Christ because of my lack of recollection and my preoccupation with trivialities. I mean, that really says a lot, doesn't it? And that's the point that I think, I think if we talk about a collective repentance, you know, repent and believe, repent of your sins, the kingdom, it goes back to the question, what do we need to repent of? And I think, really, it's our lack of regard for the person, human and divine, God who humbled himself, took on our flesh, took our sins to himself, took them down into death, rose from the dead, and says, fear not, you have nothing to fear, be at peace, but pick up your cross and follow me, and I'm going to be with you to lighten the burden of that cross and to give us a share in the mission, in the work of life. But at the core of all, at the center, at the core, the foundation, the heart, is the person of Christ Jesus. And it just seems to me that I don't hear so often, maybe we keep it within us, but that we would, you know, would we, could we, certainly we should, be very vocal and very public in the manifestation of our love for Christ, that we live so as not to offend the Lord for what the Lord has done for us, and that he is the Christ. You know, so when they were speaking of the prophet Muhammad, says, but what about Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus our Lord and Savior, Jesus who emptied himself? You know, again, as I've mentioned before, why is he not accepted by Islam, but as a mere prophet? Because for them it's inconceivable that God, Allah, could so humiliate himself, humble himself, and be lifted naked on a cross, God. But that's our boast, right? Is it Jesus indeed so humbled himself so that no man, no woman, no one can say in any way whatsoever that God simply doesn't understand. He doesn't know. He doesn't know my loneliness. He doesn't know my heartache, my headache, my body ache, my soul ache. He doesn't know what I suffer. He suffered it all, and even more so because he took all our sin to himself. I think this is what our repentance, our need to repent, is that in some ways, as St. Basil said, I am overcome by a kind of dread and numbness at the very possibility of ceasing to love God and of bringing shame upon Christ because of my lack of recollection and my preoccupation with trivialities. And that really defines, I believe, our nation, this preoccupation with trivialities, superficiality. We've so secularized that does Jesus even matter? And that's what causes sadness, I think. And going back to the conversation I had with the woman this morning, a great sadness when others don't seem to want to share in the life of this God who is so condescended that he wants to walk with us in intimacy. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Anyway, we're out of time. We will be back. Somebody will be back tomorrow. And then Thursday, I'm going to be in a meeting with the Archdiocese, so I'll be back Friday. But have a blessed day. Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sin?